Welcome to the Voice of Literacy,
where literacy researchers discuss implications of research for teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers.
Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forum.
My name is Candace Kuby, a professor of early childhood literacy at the University of Missouri.
And my name is Sarah Vanderzanen, a professor of literacy education at the University of Northern Iowa.
This week we hear from David Page, an associate professor of literacy at Bellarmine University. He does research involving reading fluency and its effects on comprehension, as well as the influence of higher order thinking on student engagement and achievement. Welcome, Dr. Page.
Thank you very much.
First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you get interested in reading fluency?
Yeah, of course, I teach at Bellarmine University in Louisville, Kentucky. But before I was in academia, I was a middle school special education teacher. And I taught reading and math to students with disabilities. And it didn't take me very long to realize that the children who didn't read well had big problems with reading fluency. So I became very interested in how do you help students become smooth readers or fluent readers, and just what are the strategies and, you know, what are some of the stumbling blocks that really keep them from becoming good readers. And, of course, I noticed the connection for students who had trouble with fluency, their comprehension or their understanding of what they read was greatly affected. So that's really how I got interested in it.
Well, let's think a little bit about this piece that's in the Journal of Literacy Research. You're focusing on reading fluency of secondary students, and you've co-authored this with a few other researchers. So maybe share with our listeners a little bit about how you're defining reading fluency, relation to word recognition accuracy, prosody, automaticity. Can you briefly explain what these components are to our listeners?
Yes, I can. Yeah, the research, it was done with Dr. Tim Rosinski at Kent State University and Dr. Teresa McPurry-Lavelle, a colleague of mine at Bellarmine University. And so we were really looking at the idea of reading fluency. So we define fluency as being composed of three indicators, or you could think of it as characteristics. So the first characteristic or indicator would be the ability to read the words correctly. We call that accuracy, decoding the words accurately. The second indicator is what we call automaticity. We also refer to it as pacing or reading rate. And that's simply the conversational rate or the speed at which the reader progresses through the text. And then the third indicator of reading and the focus of our research in this is what we call prosody. Prosody is a term that also means the same as reading with expression. In other words, do you stop at periods? Do you pause at commas? Do you inflect at question marks? But then more importantly, you actually chunk words into comprehensible phrases, these types of things.
So those
are the three indicators.
Mm-hmm. So after doing this research, talk a little bit about your findings. Was there anything surprising that was unexpected as you went through the study?
Yeah, the idea around fluency and then more specifically around prosody. So this particular study was focused on ninth grade students at a metropolitan high school. Most of the students struggled with reading. And so when I started analyzing the data, and we had a lot of data, we had some standardized test assessments. We also had them read grade level passages, and we recorded their reading. And what we found when I started looking at it, we were interested in what predicts comprehension. And we used a standardized test for comprehension. We found that typically accuracy, you know, how well students decode, and then also reading rate or pacing is also a predictor. But in our research, reading rate was not a significant predictor. It was accuracy. It was prosody. And so the big surprise was that prosody predicted silent reading comprehension in ninth grade students. No one had ever found that before. We'd seen that in elementary students, some in middle school. So this is a big surprise.
Wow. So as you move forward in your article toward the end, you talk about this proposed explanation or what you call a tandem theory of reading. Can you help our listeners understand that relationship between automaticity and comprehension?
Yeah, the tandem theory of reading, basically it's a theory around the three indicators that we mentioned previously, of fluency. And the idea that these three indicators work together to produce reading comprehension, but they don't work the same way. So, for example, when a student is reading a piece of text, and of course the comprehension with the, the assumption with the tandem theory of reading is that, number one, the student is actually reading to understand what the text is about, and that they're actually thinking about what they're understanding as they go through, some meta understanding. So the idea is that, number one, the reader's going to maximize their accuracy. In other words, they're going to try to read the words correctly. Number two, that they're going to use prosody. In other words, they're going to apply their proper expression to reading the text. And that these are done on a maximized basis. They're going to do it to the best of their ability. The big idea, though, is that the third indicator of fluent reading, pacing, or how quickly they read through the text, the reader then is going to control that based on the extent to which they're understanding what they read. So, for example, take the idea that perhaps the listener, you might be reading a simple text that's easy, it's quite enjoyable, for example, maybe a novel, something like that. And it's pretty simple for you to read, and you can make your way through that text pretty quickly. It might be a narrative text. It's really quite easy to understand. Contrast that with a more technical piece. I always use the example of when I was in college and I took a chemistry course and I had to read chemistry. And, you know, big long words I hadn't seen before. I had to stop to decode them, and I had to really kind of slow down to understand what I was reading. In other words, I couldn't read quickly through the text and still come away with any kind of understanding. So I would actually slow down the pacing at which I read so that I could gain comprehension. So in our tandem theory of reading, we hypothesize that the fluency indicator of pacing works in conjunction with comprehension. If comprehension is going well, it's easy to understand, you may actually increase the pace at which you read. However, when understanding is difficult, then you may actually consciously slow up the pace at which you're reading the text. Mm-hmm. So that's the tandem theory of reading that we hypothesized as a result of these findings around prosody.
Hmm. So based on your expertise, what would you recommend to teachers, parents, principals, policymakers?
Well, quite a bit, really. Number one, you know, fluency, or the idea of reading fluency, my co-authors and I, we feel like it's been kind of lost for a while, that it really hasn't gotten the attention that it deserves. Because students who don't read fluently typically are going to be challenged with comprehension. Not always, and being fluent doesn't guarantee that you're going to comprehend well. There's a lot more that goes into comprehension and understanding than being fluent with the text. But if you're not a fluent reader, it's almost certain that you're going to have some degradation. In other words, your understanding is not going to be what it could be. So we suggest to parents, for example, when your children are young, read with your children or read to your children. Let them hear what good reading sounds like. Discuss what you're reading with your children. Let them talk about it. This does a number of things. Number one, it lets them know that that speech can be represented by words. It lets them know that written text can have value. It's something that can be enjoyable and can be fun. And then number three, they hear you read. They start actually mapping some of the prosody, what good reading sounds like. For teachers, the idea is that we need to be sure that we have students who are fluent readers, particularly in the early elementary grades. However, the issue now with text, and especially around the Common Core state standards, where we have a higher emphasis now on informational text, and informational text, we know, is fundamentally different than narrative text. It's different in the syntax, the way the words are ordered. It's different in the vocabulary. It's written differently in a lot of different ways, and we know that that makes a difference in the extent to which a student can be a fluent reader. So for schools, students absolutely need practice. They need to read a lot of different type text as they go through the various grades. So fluency training needs to extend. We need to have fluent readers. well beyond the elementary grades into middle school and high school. And this basically happens around practice. We need students doing a lot of reading. We need to ensure that in elementary school that they emerge from those grades as fluent readers. But we need to help them stay fluent readers as text becomes increasingly more difficult as they proceed across middle school and into high school.
So, Dr. Page, in conclusion, what research are you currently doing now, and what do we still need to learn about reading fluency specifically at the secondary level?
Well, I think we need to really look at fluency around the idea of, I think, some of the differences between fluency with narrative and informational type text. We need to look more about, I think we need replication of the idea of prosody at the middle and secondary level. We just have one study. This is the results of one study, which is not sufficient. We studied students who struggle with reading. We need to know what is the role of prosody with students who read well. So these are some other things that we need to look at, I think, out in the literature base with that.
So it sounds like there's a lot of work to still do.
Yes, there is.
Well, Dr. Page from Bellarmine University, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.
You can find Dr. Page's research in the Journal of Literacy Research, Volume 46, Issue 2. Stay current with literacy research. Go to iTunes, Facebook, or Twitter and search for Voice of Literacy. Or go directly to our website at www.voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Page. We invite you to join our online discussions of this and other podcast episodes, peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, and post questions for these guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.